Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat, and welcome to the Filipino American National News. I'm Alan Bunju. On today's show, we will have a plethora of music along with some articles from the Philippines, along from Hawaii as well. But in regards to community announcements, on Sunday, March the 5th, the annual monthly Carinderia will be taking place at the Philippine Center of Minnesota from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The PCM, as is otherwise known, is located at 1380 Frost Avenue in Maplewood, Minnesota. And within the next couple of weeks, here at the Filipino American National News, we are going to have a local author on the show whose latest release is The Untold Story of Larry Itilong, Labor Rights Hero. We're going to have local author Christina Oxtra on the show. I was lucky to see Miss Oxtra actually reading one of her other books that she has published, that entitled Keep Dancing, a chapter book featuring Filipino folk dance called Tininkling. I reached out to her a few days ago in regards to having her as a guest on the Filipino American National News, and in the next couple weeks or so, we'll be able to either tape that interview or have her live here on the show to discuss her literary work on the Filipino American National News. But for right now, we're going to head over to our first article of the evening. And this comes from the Associated Press. Pro-democracy protesters in the Philippines marked the anniversary on Saturday of the 1986 army-backed People Power revolt, with the son of the dictator who was ousted in the uprising now leading the country. About 1,400 demonstrators, some waving Philippine flags and holding placards that read, "Never Forget," gathered at the Democracy Shrine along with the main EDSA highway in metropolitan Manila. Left-wing activists carrying an effigy that depicted President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. as a pest protested separately at a nearby pro-democracy monument. Faced with the awkward situation of issuing a statement to mark the revolt that toppled his namesake, Father Marcos Jr. called for reconciliation without citing the event as a democratic milestone as his predecessors had done. "I once again offer my hand of reconciliation to those with different political persuasions to come together as one in forging a better society, one that will pursue progress and peace and a better life for all Filipinos," he said in a two-paragraph statement he posted on Facebook. Renato Reyes of the left-wing alliance Bayan said the president's offer was a good soundbite but lacked the sincerity and substance given Marcos Jr.'s refusal to acknowledge abuse under his father's rule. Millions of Filipinos converged in February 1986 at the highway to shield top military and defense officials who defected from Marcos's administration. The ailing president, who imposed martial law from 1972 to 1981, was driven with his family and cronies into U.S. exile. The uprising became a harbinger of change in an authoritarian regime. But in the nearly four decades since then, poverty, stark inequality between the rich and the poor, and a failure to address past wrongdoings have remained deeply entrenched, fanning political and social divisions. De Marcos returned to the Philippines in 1991 and gradually regained political power, despite the blunder and widespread human rights atrocities four decades ago. In May last year, Marcos Jr. won the presidential race in a landslide victory in one of the history's most dramatic reversals of fortune. It's mind-blowing in one sense, isn't it? How did this happen? You remember those who sacrificed their lives, and you feel so sad for those who were tortured, those who lost loved ones. Judy Tagawalo, a longtime former political detainee and torture survivor, told the Associated Press. Now 73, Tagawalo said her generations of activists who fought the dictatorship was slowly fading, but she remains defiant. There's a new generation of fighters, she said. Tyranny can return, but there's no forever in tyranny, so long as we don't stop resisting, even if it's an uphill battle or we get sidetracked by disinformation. Marcos Jr.'s supporters called his massive victory a political vindication. Opponents said he clinched the top post through a well-funded social media campaign that whitewashed the family's history in a country regarding as one of the top users of Facebook and TikTok. The president has steadfast rejected calls for him to apologize for the atrocities and blunders during his father's rule and said in a TV interview last year that labeling the elder Marcos a dictator was wrong. The ousted leader died in exile in Hawaii 3 years after being overthrown without admitting any wrongdoing, including accusations that he and his family amassed an estimated $5 billion to $10 billion while he was in power. A Hawaii court found him liable for human rights violation and awarded $2 billion from his estate to compensate more than 9,000 Filipinos who had filed a lawsuit against him for torture, incarceration, extrajudicial killings, and disappearance. Butch Abad, a prominent activist who joined the 1986 uprising, said the army-backed revolution fortunately did not denigrate into a full-blown civil strife, but peacefully restored democracy. He said it should have been used to introduce structural reform aimed at eliminating poverty, social inequalities, and other volatile issues that helped ignite the revolt against the dictatorship in the first place. Unfortunately, we stopped at the ousting a dictator and did not pursue deepening of democracy, Abad said. And that was from the Associated Press. But right now, we're going to head over to our first song of the evening. It is from an artist by the name of Rico J. Puno. And the name of this song is entitled Sana Dalawa Ang Puso Ko.
Lumumboy ko mula nang makilala kita, hindi ka na naalis sa alaala ko. Lagi kitang hinahanap. Ano ba talaga ang meron ka na nakakaaki talaga? Parang kailan lang buhay ko'y walang mahal ako. Makilala ka, buhay ko'y biglang nagbago. Ako'y nagtataka, puso ko'y litong lito. Bakit na kaya isang puso natin di naman natin sana nalito kung sino sa inyo. Sana dalawang puso ko hindi na sana kailangan pang umili sa inyo. Nakaka-addict ka, para kang isang bisyong ang hirap iwasan. Kasi masarap ka eh. Masarap ng kasama. No dull moments with you. Alam mo, nagdadalawang isip ang feelings ko. Kaya, miss na miss kita. O bakit nga kaya isang puso natin di naman natin maaring hatiin? Sana dalawang puso ko hindi na sana darating din ang araw na pipili ako kung siya na nga o kung ikaw. Sana dalawa.
And that was Rico J. Puno with his song Sana Dalawa Ang Puso Ko. You are listening to the Filipino American National News, which is heard every Sunday here on KFAI from 9 to 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also can be heard on the web at kfai.org/Filipino American National News. Or you can hear us via the KFAI app, which you can find on both Google Play and the Apple Store. Our shows are archived up to 2 weeks when you search our show online or via the app. But for right now, we're going to head over back to the news desk. And this comes from the HawaiiNewsNow.com. The state unveiled a new monument Friday to honor the sacrifices of tens of thousands of Filipino World War II veterans. It's been more than 5 decades in the making, with veterans and their advocates weighing in on what it should look like and where it should be. They decided the best site is a place of learning. That's why a four towering bronze sculpture now stands outside the Waiapuo Public Library. Friday's unveiling was a monumental moment for attendees Arthur Caldea, Oscar Banungay, and Faustino Garcia, all veterans, along with their families of other veterans who couldn't. "We are very happy," said Caleda, who is 99 years old. Garcia turns 101 in August. With him at the ceremony were wife Erlinda, niece Miriam, and nephew Rodolfo. "It's good. It's for the future, especially for the grandchildren," said Garcia's wife Erlinda, whose father also served in the war. In 2017, a state lawmaker appropriated $200,000 for a permanent memorial for more than 260,000 Filipinos and Filipino-American soldiers who fought for the U.S. during World War II. The U.S. also awarded them Congressional Gold Medal, but many veterans have died without any recognition. Hawaii is believed to be the first state to commission such a monument. Artist Kelly Hester worked with an advisory committee that chose the site in a thriving Filipino community in Oahu. It was just to generate more interest and generate more focus on things that we wanted to do and pass the legacy on from generation to generation, said Ron Han, a member of the Arts Advisory Committee and director of the State Department Defense Office of Veterans Services. "It's great to honor our veterans, but I think the real honor is carrying the legacy forward in any way, and even in every way possible, to generate after generation after generation." Advocates hope the fixture will inspire young people who may never meet a Filipino World War II veteran or read their stories in a textbook, It teaches me strength. It teaches me power. It teaches me identity, said Ella Lacentera, whose grandfather died before he could personally receive a Congressional Gold Medal. For it to be in front of the center of education, you can invite people to learn more about it. It's a very powerful. A lot of us are going into the military. It's just nice to know what honor we have and what kind of representation we're doing for them, said Julian Yacas, said of Waiapu High School, JROTC. Just know that how far we've come, especially since, you know, a lot of them brought us here, where we're standing right now. And just looking at it right now, we're here now. We're here to carry on that kind of a legacy. The public can learn more about the contributions of Filipinos and Filipino-Americans helping in the World War II inside the library through the nonprofit Filipino Veterans Recognition Education Project and DutyToCountry.org. It's estimated only about a dozen Filipino World War II veterans are left in Hawaii. Right now, we're going to head over to our second song of the evening. It is from the group Apu Hiking Society. And the name of this song is Ako'y I Sayo, Ikaw I Akin.
Ang may sabi na ako'y mahal mo rin at sinabi mong ang pag-ibig mo'y di magbabago. Ngunit bakit sa tuwing ako'y lumalapit ika'y lumalayo? Saktan pa may kasama kang iba. Di ba nila alam tayo'y nagsumpaan na ako sa'yo, ika'y akin lamang. Kahit anong mangyari, pag-ibig ko'y sa'yo pa rin. At kahit ano pa, ang sabihin nila'y ikaw pa rin ang mahal. Maghihintay ako kahit kailan umabot pang ang
And that was the Apu Hiking Society with Akoi I Sayo Ikao I Akin. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and around the world at KFAI.org. We are going to end the show with a song from artist Regina Velasquez. This comes from the soundtrack of Kailangan Ko I Ikaw. And the name of this track to end the show for this week's edition of the Filipino American National News is Tuwang Umulan. Stay tuned for sound effects.
Sa mga halaman't mga bulaklak, pagmastan ang dilim, unti-unting bumabalot sa buong paligid tuwing umuulan.
Kasabay ng ulan, bumubuhos ang iyong ganda. Kasabay rin ng hangin kumakanta. Maribang wag ka na, sa piling ko'y lumisang pa. Hanggang ang hangit ulay tumila na. Buhos na ulan ng aking mundo'y lunuring tuluyan. Tulad ng pag-agos mo, di mapipigil ang puso ko. Nagliliyak, pag-ibig ko'y maapaw. Damdamin ko'y humihiyaw sa tuwa. Tuwing umuulan at kapiling ka, magpapaalam na.
Maari bang minsan pa mahagkan ka na maituyan pa sa bibig at ulan lamang ang saksi. Minsan pa ulan bumuhos ka, huwag nang tumigil pa. Hatid mo may bagyo, dalangin ito ng puso ko. Sumasamo, pag-ibig ko'y umaapaw. Damdamin ko'y humihiyaw sa tuwa. Tuwing umuulan at kapiling ka.
KFAI is proud to present Lake Street Live at the Hook and Ladder Theater and Lounge on Friday, March 3rd. Lake Street Live is a music showcase of local talent featuring 2-for-1, Proper T, Jaso Creative, Arvel Genius, and Atim Apoka, including DJ sets of Mixie D and KFAI's Miguel Vargas. Tickets for Lake Street Live can be found at the Hook and Ladder Theater and Lounge website. Visit thehookmpls.com for more details.
Black History Month is a month-long awareness-raising action that highlights the contributions of African Americans, Black people, and Africans across the diaspora, including South and Central America and the world. Anita Poyner was born in Oakland, California on January 23, 1943, as the fourth of six children. In 1971, Anita would form a singing group with three of her siblings known as the Poynter Sisters. Anita's songwriting talents helped the group make music history when the song Fairy Tale became a hit on the country music charts, and the Poynter Sisters became the first Black female group to perform at the Grand Ole Opry. And they earned their first Grammy Award, winning Best Country Performance by a Duo or Group in 1975. Anita Pointer died on December 31st of 2022, but her family legacy lives on. KFAI has a strong tradition of celebrating Blackness with special programming in the month of February and amplifying Black voices of the African diaspora all year round. For more information on KFAI's Black History and Black Futures Month programming, follow KFAI on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for updates.
This is Sound Effects, a radio playground, a compendium of radio theater, comedy, and the audio arts, with your host, Jerry Stearns.
Soda pop? Hey, I've heard of this stuff.
Hey, everybody, come quick. Ed's popping out.
Which adventure is he popping out to?
I don't know. It's one of those unlabeled cans.
Uh-oh, something's happening.
Whoa! Pop, soda pop. 15 minutes of action-packed adventure in every can. It gives a new meaning to the word pop. Oh, look, Ed's reappeared.
Hey, tell us all about it, buddy.
I want to go next.